This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Demi Woody joins us right now to discuss all things NFL. And I don't know if we begin there or there's other places we can go, but Wood,
we always got to start with the locals.
I actually was going to ask him, since he's had experience in this, as they announced the Super Bowl is going to have 20% capacity down at Tampa, would it impact the game at all when you're on the field to not have like a 70,000-80,000 people and that kind of buzz and feel? Because we saw the NBA Finals with no one in the building, and it felt like it lacked something. Would the Super Bowl suffer the same thing?
Not in my opinion, because once you step between the white lines, I'm not concerned about the fans. My whole concern is playing a football game. And when you're talking about a potential world championship on the line, a Super Bowl on the line, you can have one person in the stand. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just focused solely on trying to win a chip.
Now, I'll tell you what, I want to go around. Let's just bounce around the league, because there's not a lot to really talk about with the locals. We got the normal, okay, you know, Giants suck, Jets suck. But let's go to a team that is playing for the division. You talk about being able to keep your eyes on the prize, right? Not to listen to the white noise and the distractions. The Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, with everything that's transpired about Andy Dalton getting scraped up, showing that they were soft, and nobody even cared to even go and defend their quarterback. And then you have, you know, Carson Wentz, who hasn't been playing well, but he's played well in spurts, but has been running for his life. At the end of the day, if you're in both of these locker rooms, what would be your message to these guys to try and get them to understand that, listen, yeah, combined we got 9 losses, 9 L's, but all we need is one win, we're in first place?
Well, listen, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, my God, what more could you possibly want as far as the inside track in the winning of the division? You're talking about a Dallas Cowboys team that now is on its third quarterback, a rookie named Ben DiNucci, who's going to be starting for the Dallas Cowboys, and they got all sorts of problems, you know, all around the organization. The Giants clearly aren't doing anything, and the Washington football team, they're the Washington football team. So, you know, if you're Carson Wentz, man, you just got to go out there and handle your business, knowing you're by far the best quarterback in that division. And as far as the Dallas Cowboys is concerned, this whole thing, I said today on TV, I think the Dallas Cowboys should blow this thing up. I really do. I think the Dallas Cowboys come into the season, I think a lot of people felt like they had a lot of pieces to contend in the NFC, but now when you really look at this Cowboys team and the disarray that surrounds this organization, obviously Dak Prescott is out. You know, the defense is just, like you say all the time, Bart, they can't stop a nosebleed. Mm-hmm. And then I think the most important aspect of this team, their offensive line. Their offensive line has been the identity of that team for a few years now. They're decimated. I think this is a team that I think they need to hit the reset button and start over.
Get rid of Tyron Smith, do you change coaches in the first year, right? Do you change coaches? We saw in Arizona. I mean, who's the coach that had 1 year and they fired him?
Yeah, it was
was it Van Joseph?
Steve Wilkes.
One and done. Does Jerry World have the ability to admit that he made a mistake, and maybe will he reach down to maybe Lincoln Riley and say, listen, I need you to come fix this?
You know, Bart, there's a lot – people have a lot of pride, man. That's the thing that gets in the way of, you know, a lot of these decisions. You have pride, and I don't know if Jerry Jones is willing to admit that he made a mistake, man, because this team is not responding to Mike McCarthy at all. Even when they were at full strength, this team just lacked it. You know, think about how far this team has fallen since Jason Garrett. Think about this now, okay? Think about how much we lamented Jason Garrett as far as, you know, not being able to, you know, get this team over the hump. And look how far the Dallas Cowboys have fallen from that point, okay? With Mike McCarthy, who's this, you know, Super Bowl winning head coach, the team doesn't respond to him at all. So if I'm Jerry Jones and I'm taking a macro look at the whole organization and where we stand, again, I think I might have to clean house, coach, players, just start this thing over again.
Does he need to fire the general manager? The
owner should fire the general manager.
The general manager can't be fired because he's the owner. So
yeah, exactly.
You're not going to do that. But everything else, I would hit the reset button.
Now, what happens inside a locker room like that when you could feel like the team is like there's so much expectation and there's a lot of anticipation. It's America's team. It's a big brand team. You've got everything everything you would possibly want as a football player is in that facility. Everything you would want is in that market, right? It's perfect. It's nirvana for a football player because there's also no pressure to win, clearly. Right? Like there's failure everywhere and they just keep going and keep going. The owner would have to admit that he's wrong, which he rarely will do. So if you're a player, do you have that sense? Because that's one thing that Bart keeps saying. Canty has said it as well. Others have said it as well about when you're a Cowboy, when you go there to play, like you get soft. You get soft. Is that something that happens to a player? You go there and you realize like, I don't really have to win. Like I don't have, there's no accountability here. So it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, think about it. The Cowboys have been, you know, a laughing stock for 25 years. They haven't, you know, it's been like that long. I mean, yes, they've had seasons where they've been successful and won a division and got to the postseason. But, you know, ever since Jimmy Johnson left, that whole organization has just been turned upside down. You know, it just hasn't been the same type of organization that we saw from the Dallas Cowboys in the early to mid 90s. So. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, when it comes to Jerry Jones, ego plays a big role in this, man. And I don't know if Jerry Jones' ego is going to allow him to do what I think is in the best interest of the Cowboys and hit the reset button and kind of build this thing back up again. Because what they're doing now, it's just not – they're so far away from contending right now, it's ridiculous.
Now, Wood, I can only imagine – what Monday was like after that game. Because, you know, you go into the auditorium, you have the entire team there, you have the staff, you got the trainers there, you have the, you know, you have everybody in there, right? You got the strength coach in there, his staff. And I'm assuming that Mike McCarthy had to come into the auditorium and he had to address his team. And I'm sure the first thing he said is what is understood doesn't have to be said. And I shouldn't have to come here. All you guys have played this game for a long time. And never on any level has it ever been acceptable to allow anybody from the opposing team to take a cheap shot at your quarterback. And not only to take a cheap shot, but to put him out of the game where he's physically damaged, where he can't continue the next week. And the fact that nobody, I don't care if you were on the bench or if you were on that field, the fact that nobody was appalled enough to go or inclined enough to, one, go out there and check on Andy Dalton, but two, to come over with a right-hand cross, a left-hand cross, to come out and defend their teammate is unbelievable. And if we don't understand that, then we can't do anything until we understand that we, one, protects our teammates, two, especially our quarterback. And I would have to ask, what would that meeting be like when you went into the offensive lineman room and the offensive lineman coach had to address that after hearing that from the head coach?
Well, listen, I think you know, a couple of thoughts come to my mind, you know, in that particular situation. I think the overarching theme in my head is it speaks to the culture within that organization. I mean, the fact that you allow a team in the Washington football team, a player from the team who is your arch rival. God comes in like a missile and hits your quarterback while he is sliding, while he is giving himself, takes a vicious hit, and nobody runs to his defense? Nobody does anything? It just baffles me, you know, and I just started thinking, okay, are we in different times? You know, because back in the day, you know, it would have been a fisticuff. It would have been a full-out brawl, but these cats now might not get down like that. Yeah. You know, that was the first thought in my head. But then, I started thinking, too, a lot of the offensive linemen, they were backups. So would they really want to do that, knowing that they're backups and go to blows and stuff like that? So I just think, man, it's just an overall bad look by the Cowboys organization. It just to me shows where the arrow is pointing as far as where that organization is headed. And it just gave me more reason, more evidence to say that I think this organization needs to hit the reset button.
Yeah, it's interesting. And in a division where, like you said, I mean, there's opportunity everywhere. And that's why for the Eagles, who are going to be so over the cap that you'd think they'd be trying to be sellers before the trade deadline, they're like, oh, we got a chance to win the division. So what do you do now? But in the division is also the Giants. So let me ask you a question that that Chris Canty said this during the game last week when I was texting him, and then he said it on the air the next day. So I'm not putting them, you know, I'm not putting them on blast, but I want to get your take on this. He said that Andrew Thomas, the first-round pick for the Giants, the offensive tackle, who came in with all the accolades that you would want for a tackle in the first round, he said he is approaching Eric Flowers territory right now with the way he's playing, and the Giants are fighting the idea of having to bench this kid. What have you seen?
Well, listen, I think here's what's happening with Andrew Thomas and just kind of going bigger picture. I think that, number one, playing offensive line is one of the hardest positions to transition to in the National Football League. And I think part of the reason Andrew Thomas is frowned upon so bad is actually because of the success of the other guys that's been drafted at that same position. Go around and look. When you watch Mekhi Becton playing, I mean, I think he's the best offensive tackle in that whole draft, in that whole class of guys. You look at Tristan Wirfs, the tackle down in Tampa Bay, who's playing awesome. Jedrick Wills, the left tackle who's with the Cleveland Browns, is playing awful. So those are the four guys, the core four guys that are, you know, that were picked in the top 11 of this past draft. Those other three guys are playing well, but the guy who was picked first is having a slower transition to the National Football League. I'm not the one that's willing to give up on him because I know how hard it is to transition, especially when you don't have an off season. I just think that you can't look at him and then look at the other guys and say, well, why isn't he playing as well as the other guys? It just, people develop at different speeds. So I'm not willing to throw him in the trash heap, but he definitely needs to step his game up, you know, at that left tackle position.
So I got a question for you. Let's play a game. Like, I want to know, new faces and new places, who are you most excited to see? Are you most excited to see Antonio Brown with Tampa Bay?
Hmm.
Are you more excited to see Ngakoue with the Baltimore Ravens or Dez Bryant? Or are you more excited to see Le'Veon Bell in his first real week with the Kansas City Chiefs? And who do you think means more? What addition is the most valuable to that out of all those people I just named?
I'm most excited to see Antonio Brown. I just think that with the cloud that's been around Antonio Brown, the relationships that he has with Tom Brady, and you also got to remember, you know, Chris Godwin got that fractured finger, so, you know, he's going to be out this week. He could be out longer. What does Antonio Brown look like on the field? Because let's put this thing in perspective. For all the foolishness and everything nonsense that Antonio Brown has gotten himself into, you know, over the past couple of years, make no mistake about it, Antonio Brown was the best wide receiver in the league. There was no question about that. He was the best wide receiver in the National Football League. And in my opinion, he's a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Yep.
So now you put him with Tom Brady, he's entering MVP conversation. He's playing that well. Now that he's with Tampa Bay and Gronk is starting to come alive. They got Mike Evans. They got Ronald Jones. They got Leonard Fournette. Boy, I'm really excited to see what Antonio Brown looks like after basically 2 years off from meaningful football.
Now, I think Antonio Brown can be the biggest mismatch in the game. And I say when Chris Godwin comes back, you couldn't stop him on the outside. How the hell are you going to stop him in the slot? Not being able to get a hand on him in that short space, and you the third best corner on their team. Like, I think, well, I,
Boy, I mean, think about this. And you know this, watching Antonio Brown all the years in Pittsburgh. Double teams couldn't stop him. He was beating double teams. So if you're getting that type of Antonio Brown, man, watch out, NFC. Watch out, because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're going to be hard to stop.
Now, how do you think Bill feels about this? Because we've always talked about what comes first, the chicken or the egg. And it looks like Bill don't have the secret sauce. Like, he took Matt Castle and made him a Pro Bowl caliber type of quarterback. But he's struggling with Cam Newton to the point where he benched him last week. And Tom Brady's just flourishing. I understand it's unfair because Tom Brady has offensive superstars and a team that was ready to win. But we thought, and is this the biggest indictment or the biggest case for Brady that he should, like LeBron, could be the MVP every year because he took that same team to the playoffs and that same team almost before and won a Super Bowl.
Well, I think what we're seeing now is the biggest indictment of Bill as a GM. I don't think anyone disputes Bill as a coach. He is by far the best coach in professional sports, but we can definitely pick apart Bill the GM, and that's what we're seeing with the New England Patriots. I mean, I had read some of the numbers on Get Up this morning. You know, the New England Patriots, 31st in the league in explosive plays, only ahead of the New York Jets. All of their quarterbacks combined have only thrown 3 touchdowns this season. Think about that. 3 touchdowns this season. We got quarterback Tom Brady threw 5.5 in 1 half. So it just shows you the lack of talent that they have on that team. And to me, that's where you can absolutely go after Coach Belichick as far as the GM hat that he also wears, as well as being the head coach.
Now, the one argument I'll make for Bill, the GM, is that he wanted to keep Jimmy G as quarterback and maybe wouldn't have the issues that he's having right now after Tom left, but that's another conversation. The last thing I have for you, Wood, as we'll play this game of that Bart was just playing here, I'm going to give you, we're at the midpoint of the season, or at least after this weekend, we'll be at the midpoint of the season. So let me give you some teams, and you tell me who you believe in and who you don't trust, all right? So you got in the AFC, Pittsburgh 6-0, Baltimore's 5-1, Tennessee's 5-1, and Kansas City 6-1. In the NFC, you got Seattle at 5-1, Green Bay at 5-1, and Tampa Bay at 5-2. Who do you trust, and who do you not trust at those records right now?
Let's see. I trust Kansas City. Kansas City is going to be there. I trust Pittsburgh. With Big Ben, I trust them.
How about Green Bay and Tampa on the NFC side? Do you trust them? And how about Seattle's defense? Do you trust them? I mean,
of those three on the NFC, I trust Tampa the most out of those three. Because anyone who's watched Tampa's defense is legit. Like Todd Bowles, running that defense, those boys play ball. They play ball. They are the NFC version of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the way they play defense. So I feel more confident about Tampa in the NFC.
Love it. My man, always good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
You should have put Cleveland.
Hey, no problem, guys. Take it easy.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.